Hi, I'm Pastor John with Westside Community Church, and today is Mother's Day, May 10th, and I want to welcome you to our worship service. Pray that you'll be blessed today as you join us with some singing and hearing from God's Word. So let's sing together, Blessed Assurance. If you're like me, these last several weeks have certainly had their challenges, and we're all facing unique circumstances in our daily lives. If you're watching TV or even on the internet and listening to the radio, multiple times a day we're being told to stay home, save lives, and we listen to the debates going back and forth about whether we should be wearing masks or not wearing masks, which is better. The experts can't seem to agree on that. And there was even one commercial on TV that I saw stating that the dangers of being exposed or going out and exposing others, and it said, who will you kill today? Your brother, your uncle, the store clerk, and it goes on and lists all these people, and it's just kind of crazy, and these messages can wear people out, and they're difficult to take day after day, over and over and over again. And the longer this goes on, as we're seeing more people are starting to scoff at these warnings. So in light of our current circumstances, I think very few of us could actually say that we are content with how things are going in our lives these days. The Apostle Paul talks about being content in his letter to the Christians at Philippi. The Apostle Paul is in jail when he writes this letter. He's under arrest, And most believe that he's in the city of Rome. But he's in what we might call today as house arrest, meaning he's most likely in some type of simple apartment, and he's confined there rather than in a jail cell. He probably has a guard with him at all times, but he's not free to come and go as he wishes, and he probably can't provide for his own means. And so with that in mind, we have to think about what he's saying when he talks about being content. You can read about Paul's visit to Philippi along with his partners, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, in Acts chapter 16. They traveled to the city after receiving from God what is now referred to as the Macedonian call. And they had a successful ministry in Philippi. And when they left there, they left a small but very strong congregation of believers. And these believers most likely had heard of Paul's imprisonment and had sent a gift to him through a man named Epaphroditus. And so let's read what he says in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10. And this is going to be verses 10 through 13. Paul says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord, now that at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul is acknowledging the gift that was sent to him by the Philippians, and we aren't told exactly what that gift was, but most people believe that it was some type of monetary gift, and this would have been something that Paul really needed, being under house arrest and not able to provide for himself. Any rations he would have received would have been very meager and barely enough to keep a person alive. And this gift was given to Paul out of pure love and concern for Paul's well-being and a strong desire to see his ministry continue and grow. This was a true and holy gift given to him with absolutely no strings attached. Most people like to jump straight to that last verse, verse 13, where he says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." We like the idea of being able to do incredible feats with the power of God. We typically see this verse applied to sporting achievements or acts of heroism or great strength. And we can imagine the power of God coming upon someone as it did on Samson in the book of Judges. Or we might think of Popeye the Sailor Man. When he gets in trouble, you know, he pulls out his can of spinach and pops it open and gulps it down. And we see this wave of power surge through his body. And he's able to burst the bonds and escape whatever is holding him down, and he beats up the bad guy Bluto and rescues Olive Oil and Sweet Pea, and it's just a great day to be a sailor when you have your spinach. But that's not what Paul has in mind here. That's not the kind of strength he's talking about. It's not a physical strength, but rather a strength of heart and attitude. He's talking about a strength that leads to contentment. In verse 11, Paul says, "I have learned in whatever situation I am, to be content." The Amplified Version fully translate the thought of the Greek words that are used here, and it puts it like this: "I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances." Perhaps Paul is thinking about his own experiences as he writes this. The Philippians were probably familiar with some of the events that Paul had experienced in his travels. And he lists them out in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 through 28. Paul describes some of those unique challenges that he encountered. And that passage reads like this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and 1 I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, danger, danger, danger everywhere. It goes on in verse 27, in toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And verse 28, and apart from all other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. These circumstances, these are the circumstances that the Lord used to teach Paul what it means to be content. These are not comfortable situations. I'm sure Paul wasn't enjoying himself while he was experiencing these events, and he most certainly was not seeking them out. And yet he says through all of these, he has learned to be content. To be content means to be satisfied or at peace with one's current circumstances. So for Paul to say that he has learned to be content in any situation is really saying something. He's not just speaking philosophically here. He's speaking from his own experience. He knows what he's talking about. But the contentment that Paul found wasn't because of the situation he was in. The contentment was found in Paul's relationship with Christ. That's how he was able to endure all of those trials. That's the secret to being content. He knew that as he followed God's calling on his life and walked every day in the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew that no matter what awaited him, whether it was times of plenty or times of need, whether it was times of peace or persecution, whether times of safety or times of danger, that God was still God. God was still in control, and nothing could change that. No circumstance could change that. That's the strength that he refers to in verse 13. The strength is not about Paul, it's about Christ in Paul. Here's Philippians 4:13 from the Amplified Bible. It says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. It is Christ in Paul that gives him the strength, the peace, and the contentment. And the same is true for you and me today. And yet so often we become discontent with what's happening around us. We become impatient for God to change things to the way that we think that they should be. And we get tired of waiting for God to act, and we think that we need to step in and become our own change agents. And we take matters into our own hands in an attempt to fix the problem. A classic example of this is found in Genesis chapter 16. Old Abram and Sarai have been married a long, long time, and Sarai still hasn't been able to bear children for Abram. There was a lot of cultural shame in those days that went along with a woman being barren and unable to have children. And now, to add to that pressure, God has made a promise that Abram would become the father of a great nation. Well, how is this supposed to happen when she can't have children? And now that they're both old, she is well past childbearing years, And she just can't fathom a way for God to be able to fulfill his promise to Abram. And then one day she gets this idea. And in Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, we read this. She said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go and sleep with my slave, Hagar. Perhaps I can build a family through her." This may seem like a pretty crazy idea for us, but this arrangement was not terribly uncommon in that culture in those days. If a woman was unable to conceive a child, it was acceptable for the husband to have children through her servants. And so Abram agrees, and Hagar, surprise, surprise, becomes pregnant. And that's when the real trouble begins. Jealousy and anger and all kinds of family problems arise in Abram's household. Hagar is starting to see Sarai with contempt, and Sarai is angry with Abram. And it's not a good scene. And what had seemed like a logical, practical idea only brought about grief and tension, an all-out war for thousands of years. And we see the effect of that choice even today when we look at some of the struggles in the Middle East. It was just, you might say, it just blew up in their faces. And it was all because of Sarai's discontentment. She just couldn't find rest in the promises of God. A friend of mine used to say that when we are tempted to take things under our own control and try to manipulate things the way we think they should be, he says that's settling for Hagar when God has promised Sarah. And he would say, don't settle for Hagar when God has promised Sarah. Perhaps you're feeling like Sarai these days, discontent with an area of your life. Maybe it's your job or a relationship. Maybe it's a health issue. Whatever's going on, things aren't going the way you think they should. But you need to know God is still at work. Don't grow impatient. You may not be able to see his hand moving, but trust me, God is moving. He's at work. Think back to that list of Paul's difficult experiences in his ministry. He never gave up, no matter how difficult they were or how painful they became. He kept going because he trusted in the resurrected Savior who had called him. Find your contentment in Christ Jesus. Don't be like Sarah and think that you can come up with a better solution. There is no better solution than God's perfect plan. You'll never find contentment in your own plan. And most likely, you will only end up causing more problems for yourself and others. This really hits home for me personally. As most of you know, my wife died of cancer last June. And these have been some most difficult days for me. There were many times when I wanted to quit my job and sell my house and all my possessions and just run away. I'm learning to be content. To be content in this new role as a widower. It's not easy. It isn't fun. There are some dark days. There are some long nights. And I don't know what it's going to be like on the other side of all this. And I don't know if I'll even recognize when I am on the other side. But I do know that God is at work and that God's hand is still guiding and leading. And I know that I'm not going to settle for Hagar when God has promised Sarah. The Lord knows that you are tired. The Lord knows that you feel that you can't go on and that you want to give up. The Lord knows that there's times when it seems that things just aren't working out and you feel you need to take control and change things the way you want them to be. God knows that you're in need of an encouraging word, just like what Paul received from the Philippians, something that says, keep going. We're praying for you. God is with you, even in your pain, even in your struggles. God knows, and God cares, and God is causing all things to work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to close with some verses from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. This is God's promise for us. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May you experience the strength that God provides as you walk the path the Holy Spirit has called you to. May you learn to be content in any and every circumstance, facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And may you know the grace and peace that comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'm praying for you, and I'll see you again soon.